everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning, and a special worship, special welcome to those who are joining us on the live stream this morning. It is good that to have you joining us this morning as we remember the death of our Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. A couple of brief announcements before we begin. First, a welcome to all of those who are here, and a special thank you to those who are participating by way of reading this morning. On the way in, you should have received a tea light candle, which we will be using at the end of worship this morning. If you didn't receive a tea light candle, if you raise your hand right now, Cynthia will make sure you have one for the appropriate time. Perfect. And for those who are at home, if you want to go and find a small candle that you can light and participate in that act of worship at the end of the service this morning, we would encourage you to do that as well. There is one mildly unfamiliar piece of music this morning. Alex, if you can pop the words on the... And not only is it unfamiliar, but for those of you who went to high school in a certain day and age, you will recognize it as being in Latin. Those of us who are my age didn't get high school Latin, so we have no idea what it says. Actually, I do. The words Kyrie eleison are a traditional liturgical response within the Christian church that dates back centuries. It means, Lord, have mercy. And it's pronounced like this. Kyrie eleison. Easy way to remember it is all the E's sound like long A's. All the I's sound like long E's. And O sounds like O. And if Minna has the music before her, we will sing it through. She'll play it through once, and then we'll sing it through once. It will only take you once to learn this piece. During one of the psalms being read this morning, by the time we arrive at the end of the psalm, if you don't have it mastered yet, you will. The other final note about the service is that there is music used both liturgically as refrains to the psalms, as well as some hymns that we will sing in our traditional manner. And you will note when we wish you to stand, the slides will say, "Please rise." When if it doesn't say "Please rise," you get to sit. This morning's call to worship is, as is our custom, a responsive call, and will appear before you on the screens. Who has believed what we have heard? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?
Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we account him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted.
But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole.
And by his bruises we are healed.
Today we remember Jesus was crucified. He was scourged for our transgressions. He died for our iniquities. As we set our focus upon the cross, We remember the sacrifice of our Lord with gratitude because his death gives us life and brings redemption to the world. Let us worship our Savior. Let us pray. We stand near the cross, O God, disturbed, distraught, discouraged. Yet we gather here as disciples, those whom Jesus loves. On this day of great solemnity, let us stand as witnesses to your great love for all the world, revealed in the outstretched arms of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Then Jesus went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley to a place where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place because Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas brought a detachment of soldiers together with police from the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that was to happen to him, came forward and asked them, "For whom are you looking?" They answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus replied, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they stepped back and fell to the ground. Again he asked them, "For whom are you looking?"
Let us pray. Good and gracious God, as you gave me grace to acknowledge my sins, so give me grace, both in word and heart, to repent and utterly forsake them, and forgive me those sins which my pride blinds me from discern me. Glorious God, give me your grace to turn my back on the things of this world and to fix my heart solely on you. Give me your grace to amend my ways so that I can approach death without resentment, knowing that in you is the gateway to eternal riches. Glorious God, take from me all sinful fear, all sinful shame and self-pity, all sinful hope and all sinful desire. Instead, give me such fear, such sorrow, such pity, such hope, and such desire as to be profitable for my soul. Good Lord, give me this grace in all my fear and agony to find strength in that great fear and agony which you, sweet Savior, had on the Mount of Olives before your bitter passion. Almighty God, take from me all desire for worldly praise and all emotions of anger and revenge. Give me a humble, lowly, quiet, peaceable, patient, generous, kind, tender, and compassionate mind. Grant me, good Lord, a full faith, a firm hope, and a fervent love, that I may desire only that which gives you pleasure and conforms to your will. And above all, look upon me with your love and favor. Amen.
Thank you. So the soldiers, their officer, and the Jewish police arrested Jesus and bound him. They first took him to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas said to the one who advised the Jews that it was better to have one person die for the people. Simon Peter and another disciple followed Jesus. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter was standing outside the gate. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out, spoke to the woman who guarded the gate, and brought Peter in. The woman said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the slaves and the police made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing round it, warming themselves. Peter was also standing with them and warming himself. Then the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. Jesus answered, "I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in synagogues and in the temple, where all the Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard what I have said to them. They know what I said." When he had said this, one of the police standing nearby struck Jesus in the face, saying, "Is this how you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered, "If I have spoken wrongly, testify to the wrong. But if I have spoken rightly, why do you strike me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing warming himself, and they asked him, "You are not also one of the disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Again Peter denied it, and at this moment the cock crowed.
Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner when my mother conceived me. You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart.
Create in me a clean
me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you, Deliver me from bloodshed, O God. O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your deliverance. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you have no delight in sacrifice. If I were to give a burnt offering, you would not be pleased. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise.
Took Jesus from Caiaphas to Pilate's headquarters. It was early in the morning. They themselves did not enter the headquarters so as to avoid ritual defilement and to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered, "If this man were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law." The Jews replied, "We are not permitted to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill what Jesus had said when he indicated the kind of death he was to die. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" After he said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I find no case against him, but you have a custom that I release someone for you at the Passover. Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" They shouted in reply, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a bandit.
Thank you. Who has believed what we have heard, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity, and as one from whom others hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him of no account.
God's wondrous love is this, O my soul, O my soul. God's wondrous love is this, O my soul.
Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases, yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity for us all. Afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is before its shears is silent. So he did not open up his mouth. By a perversion of justice, he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken from the transgression of my people. They made his grave with the wicked and his tomb with the rich, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth.
What wondrous love is this, O my soul, O my soul. Love is this, O my soul.
Yet it was all the will of the Lord to crush him with pain. Will you make his life an offering for sin? He shall see his offspring and shall prolong his days. Through him the will of the Lord shall prosper. Out of the anguish he shall see light. He shall find satisfaction through his knowledge. The righteous one, my servant, shall make my righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out himself to death, he was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors.
Is this that calls the Lord of bliss? And when from death I'm free, I'll sing and joyful be, and through eternity I'll sing on, I'll sing on, and through eternity I'll sing on.
Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. And the soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they dressed him in a purple robe. They kept coming up to him and saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and striking him on the face. Pilate went out again and said to him and said to them, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no case against him." So Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." When the chief priests and the police saw him, they shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to him, "Take him yourselves and crucify him. I find no case against him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die, because he claims to be the Son of God." Then he handed him over to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross by himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, with Jesus between them. Pilate also had an inscription written and put upon the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it had been written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. Then the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write, 'The King of the Jews,' but, 'This man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written."
My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me from the words of my groaning? O my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our ancestors trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am not a worm and not human, scorned by others and despised by the people. All who see me mock at me. They make mouths at me. They shake their heads. Commit your cause to the Lord and let him deliver. Let him rescue the one in whom he delights. Yet it was you who took me from the womb. You kept me safe on my mother's breasts. On you I was cast from my birth. And since my mother bore me, you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help.
Kyrie eleison,
Many bulls encircle me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death.
Kyrie eleison, Kyrie eleison, Kyrie eleison.
For dogs are all around me, a company of evildoers encircle me, my hands and feet have shriveled. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far away. O my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. Horns of the wild oxen, you have rescued me. I will tell of your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him. Stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he did not despise or abhor the affliction of the afflicted. He did not hide his face from me, but heard when I cried to him.
Kyrie eleison, Kyrie eleison, Kyrie eleison.
From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. To him indeed shall all who sleep in the earth bow down. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust. And I shall live for him. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord and proclaim his deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying that he has done it.
Soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, one for each soldier. They also took his tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see who will get it." This was to fulfill what the scripture says, "They divided my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots." And that is what the soldiers did. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother."
And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. After this, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said, in order to fulfill the scripture, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there. So they put a sponge full of the wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the wine, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, though a secret one because of his fear of the Jews, asked Pilate to let him take away the body of Jesus. Pilate gave him permission. So he came and removed his body. Nicodemus, who had at first come to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, weighing about 100 pounds. They took the body of Jesus and wrapped it with the spices in linen cloths, according to the burial custom of the Jews. Now there was a garden in the place where he was crucified. And in the garden there was a tomb in which no one had ever been laid. And so, because it was the Jewish day of preparation, the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Once in a garden, at the moment of creation, as God calls forth the sun and the moon and the stars, sea and dry land, plants of every kind and every living creature, the sum total of God's creative ability is a rich and verdant garden. And as the crowning glory of that garden, God creates humanity, created in the divine image, to watch over and tend the garden, to be the very guardians of God's creation. And have you ever noticed that when humanity is tempted in that garden, surrounded by such goodness and such abundance, that we cannot live within the boundaries of God's garden? Like some errant tag sewn into the collar of a garment, our being created in the divine image, so close to being like God, there is this proverbial itch to usurp the authority of God and claim for ourselves a wisdom that is more than we can bear. And so it is. Once in a garden, that sin enters our human existence, and it is from that garden that the first man and the first woman are expelled. And yet, the image of the garden remains. How often in his teaching does Jesus make reference to that persistent garden? To a sower casting seed, or weeds sprouting up amongst the wheat, or the greatness of a mustard seed. It is in a garden that Judas betrays his teacher with a kiss, and in that garden our Lord is arrested. It is from the garden that the reeds were plucked that beat Jesus back. It is from the garden that thorns were woven into a crown. It is from the garden that Calvary's rough-hewn cross becomes the implement upon which Jesus dies. All so that we can be restored to that first garden. All so that we might once more walk with God through the garden in the cool of the day, that we might be redeemed and restored to the goodness with which we were first formed. And it is in a garden, near the place where Jesus was crucified, that two men, almost strangers, move purposefully in the half light of dusk to bury the body of Jesus. As any gardener knows, the garden is a place of life and death, seed time and harvest, transformation and rebirth. As Jesus said to his disciples, unless a seed falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single seed. But if it dies, then it bears much fruit. Today, Jesus is buried in a garden. The seed of hope planted within the rocky ground of this world, ready to break forth at Easter. Amen. We will sing the concluding two verses of Were You There? Let us stand. we prepare to go out from this place, an invitation. In a moment I will pronounce the sending, not quite a benediction, because the service today does not end, but continues in our hearts until we gather on this morning of Christ's resurrection. But you are invited to stay as long as you wish in this space, to in quiet meditation and prayer. At your own time, you are invited to come forward with the candle you received earlier to light it from the Christ candle and to leave it on the communion table. And if you wish, you can return to your seat to sit in quiet, or you may leave in silence to allow for people to linger if they wish. I will be doing greeting at the bottom of the stairs this morning. Friends, do not hurry away from the cross, but linger near, to survey, to stand, to ponder our Savior's suffering and death. Consider carefully and well the preciousness of his sacrifice for you, the greatness of his mercy toward you. Then depart from Golgotha confidently, knowing that the Spirit will keep you in your crucified Savior's strong embrace and prompt you to trust and obey him always.